Okay, here we go. Ready? Holy Spirit, speak. Because if you don't, we're just wasting our time. All right, so we have been talking about being a disciple, which is following Jesus, which is actually the disciple means, who members? Learner. It means learner. Oh, you're snapping photos now. How rude. So Brian is a very good friend of mine, okay? I just have to call this out so, you know, all the deacons can stand down. He's not a problem, troublemaker. No, but he's been my friend for 20 years. He's been Rachel's for even longer. And you know, he's got that personality type. It's what makes him the spice of life. So I think his one of his missions is to try to get to me all day long, you know, which is fun. All right, ready? So learner, we're learning to be like Jesus, and Jesus demonstrated spiritual warfare for us, and so we sort of broke out from the overall discussion of discipleship to kind of take a longer route about spiritual warfare. And it feels like, no matter, like, I don't know what you might be going through, but doesn't it just feel like there's an increase of the need for spiritual warfare right now? Yeah? All right. Enough people are saying, yeah, right? It just feels like that. Well, it's time to engage, right? So evil prevails when good men do nothing. That is not scripture, but I still like it. And it's time for us to rise up and allow the Holy Spirit to lead us, right? Now, when I say spiritual warfare, we have to remember that, number one, we always do this under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. We always keep our eyes on Jesus. We do not respond to the enemy, right? Or else he gets to attack and then we go on defensive. He gets to attack, we go on offensive. And we just find ourselves being, right, led by an attack after attack, and it's like it never ends. So we respond to Jesus, we keep our eyes on him, and we only do what the Holy Spirit says. We don't just sit there and, you know, get all caught up in the rat race of binding and everything, right? All right, number two, we never glorify the enemy, okay? And what that means, it's really easy to do that. When a big problem comes, it's really easy to say, oh, how big this problem is, right? Oh, COVID, oh, right? We don't want to glorify it. It's a problem. And then the Holy Spirit gets to diminish it, which is where it belongs, in comparison to the throne of God, right? So hold your thing up in contrast to the Lord himself and realize he's on the throne and it's a big throne, right? And don't glorify your issues by allowing it to have a big place in your heart. It's a thing. It needs to be crushed and put down. And my God is greater. My God is stronger, right? Okay, we saw that when John, when he was in the book of Revelations, and he saw this being, and it was like a woman riding on a beast, and she was drinking from a cup that had the blood of the saints, and she was drunk, right, on the blood of the saints. So this woman has some serious power, right? She represents a nation and a system on the earth, and John was just like, his jaw dropped, and he's like, holy cow, this woman has some serious power. And the angel kind of like slapped him and, why are you standing in awe of her? Right? Refocus yourself. Snap out of it, man, right? Refocus yourself. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Amen. Okay, so I'm just cutting to the chase. Last week, we talked about surrender. If you missed it, go back, listen to the audio, because all y'all need to surrender. Right? Seriously, we cannot wield the authority of God until we have the surrender to the authority of God, right? There's nothing magical about the name of Jesus. It's powerful. It's not magical, right? So it's not like the old Dracula movies of the 60s, where as long as you hold up your cross, he has to stand, right? No. And we read in Ephesians when the seven sons of Sceva got their butts kicked because they weren't surrendered to the authority of Christ. They were just trying to use his name magically, right? Your surrender becomes your authority, okay? So Romans 8:15 starts out by saying, you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children. And now we call him Abba Father. That's Daddy God in the Greek, right? For his spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share in his glory, we must also share his suffering. Yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory that he will reveal to us later. Number one, following the Holy Spirit is an act of knowing, trusting, and loving the Father. Okay? And nothing challenges your inner knowing and trusting and loving the Father like having something ominous in your face. Right? And so don't like freak out and why are you doing this once again, oh God, right? He's like, hey, I'm developing you. I'm building trust. And you don't build trust until you walk through fire, right? So know that you're a son. Know that you're a daughter. Know that you're loved. You're not just this fearful slave. What does a slave say when their life is falling apart? They say things probably to themselves like, well, I'm expendable. If I go down, the boss gets another one of me. If I go down, it must be because my boss wanted it that way. That was his will. Because he could get another one, a younger one, a better looking one, a more charismatic one, right? But we are not fearful slaves. And so when these things come into our life, we don't approach it from the concept of saying, oh my gosh, I wonder if he loves me. I wonder if he's going to come through. I wonder if he, right? Raise your hand if any of your children are replaceable. Huh? Nah, yeah. No, your children are not replaceable, right? They have their weaknesses and their faults, but man, you will step in front of traffic for them, right? And so you have to realize that the God of heaven and earth will step in front of traffic in the moment of an attack, okay? It's where you build your security. If you aren't secure in him, you just shake and you fold and you scatter. You know what I mean? And the word talks about let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. Yeah? Okay, we must live from, speak from, and operate from the place of confidence in the love of our God. Why? You know, I'm not much on the whole name it, claim it thing, but I am very cognizant of the idea that sometimes I say things and then I start to believe them. You ever listen to yourself and you're like, you confirmed something, like a suspicion in the back of your mind, and once you said it, you're like, yeah, that's right. And there are times where we come into agreement with junk. Know what I mean? So we have to live from, speak from, and operate from the place of confidence in our God. We have to be open to sometimes allowing the Holy Spirit to tell us, be still and know that I'm God, and at other times, get off your butt and fight. And there is no formula. And you know why there's no formula? He wants relationship first. He's more concerned about communication and openness with you than he is about solving your problem. Right? And some of us, we find ourselves in a hard time, and that's when we run to the Lord, and he's like, well, how come we got to do this every time you're in trouble, right? Like, can't you just quit and come straight in when you don't need anything, right? And that's not to make you guilty. I'm just letting you know, there is no formula. If you read the book that was from that awesome author that said, every time this happens, do the following five things, you're cutting yourself off from the truth of the relationship that comes from him, okay? Here, I'm going to move the flowers again for you. You guys keep sitting there. If you're going to sit there, you can feel free to move them too, all right? You know what's awesome is when I turn my back and I come back next, you know, in the middle of the week, they're back. I don't. They have feet. So sometimes he says, be still and know, and sometimes he says, fight, and there's times where we want to be still when he's telling us to fight, and there's other times where we want to fight when he's saying, nah, just be still, right? So we take our leadership from the Holy Spirit. Also, we have to be ready to allow him to stir up some things in us that we may not want to happen. Right? Because I don't know about you, I am always jaded in favor of myself, right? And I don't want anything to happen in my life that I'm not in control over, that I can't deal with. I'm just talking human, right? Right? And the Lord, he has to strip things down that are in our flesh, and he allows things to pass through the filter of his love and get right in our face, and it's to cause us to deal with stuff that we will not deal with if we didn't have that confrontation coming right in front of our face, right? Some of us, like, we may not have faced unforgiveness this morning if Allison hadn't said, hey, some of you need to forgive, right? We would have just said, no, I exalt thee, shush, I exalt thee. And he's like, forgive, no, I rebuke that, right? Right? Okay. And so, you know, 2 Timothy 1, 6 through 7 actually says this. It's a little off topic, on topic. If we could get it up on the screen, please. 2 Timothy. It's a new computer, so we have lots of grace. Thanks, guys. You're awesome. This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. And I really wanted to get into this piece because some of us are gifted by the Holy Spirit in certain ways, and you know it, and you're running from it. Because you're afraid what's going to happen when you open Pandora's box and experience the drama of other people's messiness. And so instead of fanning into flames this thing God is doing in us, we're like, nope, I'm pushing it down. I'm cutting myself off. I tried that. It didn't work. I got disappointed. I'll never open that up again. Right? And who's that sound like? Does that sound like God? No. So here's a poignant prophetic moment just for you. Some of us need to write down a note. I will start fanning into flames the gift God has given me. And I will not approach his gifts with fear. Right? It's all on topic because, man, some of us, we've done things and we've moved out on the Holy Spirit. And then it's like, yeah, you got clobbered. Okay, that happens to every one of us if you're human. Right? But we pull away because I don't like it. When I did that, I was vulnerable and I got hurt, or that person just took advantage of me, or holy cow, the enemy attacked me when I made myself a target, or there's so many ways to fill in the blank, right? And he's calling us back to the place of power and love and self-discipline. Not fear, not timidity. You with me? Okay. Yeah, he's coming back for a bride who's without spot and blemish, but let me fill in another blank. He's looking for a like-hearted bride. I can do this because you guys just got engaged. So, can I pick on you? All right, so you're looking for a like-hearted girl, right? If she was like completely outside of the priorities of your life, would you still, you'd kind of let that one phase out, right? But you obviously popped the question. You said yes. And you said yes because his priorities and his life and where he wants to go kind of match your hopes in some way, right? Right? Okay, so that's Jesus with us. He's like, I want a bride who wants what I want, right? And we, if we're left to ourselves apart from the Holy Spirit stirring this stuff up inside of us, we want comfort, we want peace, we want wealth and prosperity, and we don't want anybody to mess with us. Right? Sounds like a baby. Right? And he's not coming back for a baby. That'd be gross. Right? He's looking for a like-hearted bride, like-hearted potential. Like, yeah, we're not all like, we don't have everything in line with Jesus, but he's like, okay, but there's a bride who wants to go in the same direction as me and can enjoy this adventure and will lay things down in order to do what I am leading her to do, right? This is important. We stir up this power, love, and self-discipline, and we stop giving into fear and timidity, which holds us back from fully experiencing his like-heartedness, okay? Are you with me on this? I swear, he's coming back for a red-headed, fiery bride. Not an air-headed, blonde one, right? I'm sorry. But I'm sorry. You can punch me. Please, just not on video. You know what I'm saying, though, right? Thank you. I love you. I was just being silly. But the Holy Spirit's looking for a bride that actually cares and wants to get caught up in his priorities, right? Not just, you know, fill me up, come make my life convenient, bless me. All right, I'll give you $5. Will you turn it into 100? Okay. Right? I mean, like, really? Sugar daddy, that's not a husband, right? So our identity in God is critical. If we see ourselves as fearful slaves begging God to come through for us, then that's how we act. Right? If you see yourself as this begging slave, how are your prayers going to be mighty and powerful and with authority? You won't be, will you? You'll be more apt to say things like, when we pray, we just sort of throw it up to him and say, well, he's going to make his decision. I'm out. And you wonder why no one wants to pray with you. And you wonder why you're afraid to pray because you're, you know, things never happen when you pray. Well, get your head out of your slave game and put it back in the sons and daughters category. Right? Do you know how many times my son will ask me for something if I say, hey, just wait a minute. My three-year-old? Huh? I'm like, yeah, I'll get to that after I'm done. Yeah, he's like, hey, make my cereal. Okay, I'm making a cereal. Hey, turn on the TV for me, okay? And I'm like, yeah, after I'm done making your cereal. Hey, can I have the TV on? Can I have the TV on? Can I have the TV on? I'm making, right? He's a son. He's not a slave. You know what I mean? He's a son, and he just knows dad's going to come. And that's how we have to be, relentless and just completely sold out on this idea. My God responds to me. I belong to him, and he loves me, and his desire is for me. And yeah, he's going to get to it in his time, but man, he's not going to say no to something like that. You know what I mean? Now I'm getting really fast because I don't want to hear him keep asking for more. Sometimes the stacks get even deeper. Like, oh, and can I have chocolate milk too? And yeah. Oh, my goodness. I want to point something out. If we can go back to, where were we at? Romans 8, 15. Thank you. Hey, you're faster than flipping to it manually. So, if we share in his glory, we also have to share in his suffering. I need to call this out one more time because, you know, there's a part of the church abroad that believes that we were called to suffer for him. And like the more you suffer, the better that is for you. You've never heard of that? Oh, you have. Okay. Yeah. It's like, take this finger and put it right here. Oh, and get it out of you. Because, you know, what he's calling us to is not to suffer defeat and loss and shame and hurt. He wants us to suffer a battle. Okay. There's a difference. And when he fights to win. Do you hear what I'm getting at? And I'm not just talking about fighting battles for you. He wants us to jump in and suffer a battle on behalf of other people in our life. He wants us to go to war for those that are hurting or lost or they don't have enough money or they're just broken or they're, right? He wants us to get into those battles and suffer the battle for the sake of winning. There's no scripture you can show me that God is like, oh, he's a God of losing. Right? In fact, he's the one that says we're more than conquerors, right? He wants us to jump in. Like all of these, I'm going to go to another one. Ready? Romans 8, 35, please. It's the same chapter. I just jumped a couple of verses because Paul took a small commercial. You guys on the, please, the next one, 8, 35. Thanks. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity, if we're persecuted, hungry, destitute, in danger, threatened with death? As the scriptures say, for your sake we're killed every day, we're being slaughtered like sheep. Can I put the pause on that and just say, this is not you having a bad day at the office. Paul's talking from the position of he's gone into an area that does not know Christ and he's selling out his whole life so that a church can know him. Right? Can know Jesus. And while he's doing the right thing, he's fighting for brothers and sisters, he's dealing with trouble, calamity, persecution, hunger, destitution, danger, threatened with death. This is not him just, you know, suffering life. You hear the difference? Too many of us are so focused on the, well, I'm not feeling well, and I haven't. No, put all that aside. If we're actually jumping into a battle and we're trying to help and we're following the Holy Spirit down the rabbit hole into somebody else's mess, into their darkness, and then we get bit for it. Okay. Crap happens. That's 1 Timothy. I'm serious, guys. And so that's where the Lord's like, no, 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 despite all those things, you're still overwhelming victor. It's yours through Christ, right? It's like, I want you to jump into that mess. It's okay if you get bit a little bit. I'm not calling you to suffering, like getting sick, losing all your money, your job, your children walking away from Christ, right? I'm calling you into a different kind of suffering where it's a real pain in the neck, but you're jumping into someone else's mess and you're going to see them healed. You're going to see them delivered. You're going to see them restored. You're going to see things broken off. They're going to know Christ, right? We tear down strongholds that keep others from knowing Christ. We read that a couple weeks ago, right? You get what I'm saying? Did I lose you? All right. Same right church? Did I show up at the right one? We're to suffer a battle. All right. Yes. Of course we do. Sure. Sure. That's exactly what I'm getting at. Yeah, I'm getting right at that right now. I know, my mother-in-law is stealing my sermon again. But that's the whole point, is like we're, as the American church, we're always so worried about our promotion, our comfort, what can make us and our more fulfilled. And the Lord's like, you know, my disciples were out there sacrificing everything just to name the name of Jesus, and it cost them everything, right? But at the same time, he's like, that in that place, you are an overwhelming conqueror. The victory is yours when you are in that place. Because number one, you're done with the rat race and you're done with letting it own you. Right? We read our scripture that says they love not their life even unto death. That's pretty extensive, huh? Pretty dramatic. We're getting there. We're going to get there. Amen? Okay, and then, so now I came off the commercial, so we can go back to that last slide, if you don't mind, Nemo. Thank you. Reading where it's underlined, no, despite all these things overwhelming, victory is ours through Christ who loves us, and I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither the fears of today, worries of tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord, right? Amen. Amen. And so that little part of you that said, I tried, I stretched out there, the church hurt me, that person I was trying to help really took advantage of me, I don't ever want to do that. No, he's like, no, you, nothing's going to separate you from his love. And when you know you're a son, loved, a daughter, loved, you get up, try again, I'm loved. Really? Yeah. He loves me. He went through hell to get me. Right? Like-hearted bride. Don't want to be a bride, but have to be. All right. Huh? Oh, I can't be the groom. That'd be weird. Jesus is the groom.
Yeah.
That's in Revelations. Hey, whatever. It's in Revelations and Psalms 45. He gets to be the man. We have to be the female. It's just an analogy. Nah, we can talk later. A voice from heaven. Why is it critical that we go into that Romans 8 scripture of God's love and nothing can separate us from it? It's because that's where we find our security to keep getting up and doing the same thing over again. Without security, without an anchor, you're just being tossed around by wherever the waves take you, right? Who likes to be in that position? Nobody. You find your anchor in one thing, and that one thing alone, and the Bible says it's the love of God. It's so easy, and yet why do we struggle? Another thing to remember, no enemy can stop the love of God or can separate you from him. So the worst he can do is distract you, discourage you or try to shipwreck your confidence, but he cannot separate you from the love of God. You know what I mean? Critical. Because he's a talker, isn't he? He's an accuser. That's the number one way the enemy can get to us, is by accusing us. And then we try to unplug ourselves from the love of God because we feel dirty, unworthy, broken, unlovable. Yeah? It's a great reminder. We are not ever going to be separated. And he loves us the way we are, and he loves us so much, he's not going to leave us where we are. Right? Yeah. So the battles of today have no bearing or connection to the love of God. And so our response whenever an attack comes is to understand that the love of God will keep us moving through that challenge. You know what I mean? And if you sit down and complain and cry and lose faith, you just gypped yourself from an adventure, from a God adventure. Right? All right. I got a whole lot more stuff, but we're just going to keep saving it. And it's like, I wrote this one sermon. It's gone like 5 weeks. It's awesome. I save so much time, you know? You know, I take 15 minutes to write a sermon, and it goes 5 weeks.
That was the inspiration you wanted, right? The Holy Spirit inspired you.
I guess. I don't know. I was saving this one for Brian because I knew he was coming. He needed to hear it. All right. Let's pray. If you don't mind, let's put the prayer topics on the screen. And I believe that I'll start us off in a prayer. But I believe that you know what? Let me just go here and see what happens. Forgive me for not living in response to Father God. I have allowed myself to become discouraged, afraid, and defeated by focusing on the effects of the enemy rather than the intervention of God. Is that you? Some of you? All of us? Kim says it's all of y'all. Forgive me for ignoring my spiritual gifts, the power you mean to affect through me. Some of us aren't stirring, and we need to stir. Shape a lifestyle of purity to fortify my life and praise to break strongholds in Jesus' name. You know exactly if that's you or not, right? And then the last one is empower me as I commit to fight against the devil's devices in my life and those you make me responsible for. And that means for those that he's leading us to get into their mess and pull them out. The drama. Know what I mean? Yeah. Well, Holy Spirit, what do you want to do? Holy Spirit, will you just talk to us right now? It's okay to be in quiet for a minute, right? Can you just like sit before him and just ask him if there's anything that he wants to deal with on this topic? Holy Spirit, have we lived in fear, knee-jerk reactions, trying to control, manipulate, stay safe at the expense of listening to your voice, experiencing your peace? Holy Spirit, is there a part of us that's cut ourselves off from gifts, dreams, things that you want to do through us because we didn't want to accept the responsibility, the drama, the inconvenience? We just give this thing over to you, Holy Spirit. We ask you to put it in a new light. We ask you to put it in a new light. God, some of us, we were given a gift and we just shut it down. some of us got hurt using it. And we made an inner vow and said, I'll never do that again. I'll never make myself vulnerable like that ever again. And Lord, we just tied your hands in our life. Holy Spirit, I just ask right now in the name of Jesus that you will give us the courage and the awareness to untie that vow and to break it and just give it to you. Lord, we surrender those inner vows, the reluctance. We surrender it at the cross. We tell you, our Master Jesus, that you can use us any way that you want to because your ways are good. It was for freedom that you set us free, and we will not bind ourselves with reluctancy and vows that are counter to your Spirit's will. God, if there is any part of us that's resisting you, maybe it's even back to the forgiveness message. We're just struggling. We don't want to forgive. God, give us the courage once again to surrender that piece of our heart to you to say, Lord, if that's what you want to do in us, then who are we to battle and carry this thing? Nothing's going to separate us from your love, even throwing the scoreboard into the sea of forgetfulness. So God, thank you. We invite you even this week, Father, to bring us into uncomfortable places. Maybe you want to speak to us alone in our time alone with you, and you just want to open up a new adventure of healing or deliverance or restoration of some kind. We just say, God, we're not afraid of whatever pruning process you want to do in us, because the pruning process makes us so much more free. So much wiser, so much more grateful. So whatever you want to use in our life to develop us and make us Christ-like, then we are in the boat wholeheartedly. You lead, we follow. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And I just thank you that you are rebuking the devourer for our sake. We love you, God. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If anybody has a specific thing you want prayer for, like a specific challenge, battle, you need healing, come on up. Let's start praying. Everyone else, you guys are dismissed and free to pick up your children. And have a good day.